Thank you, Sam, for reading for us. And Merry Christmas, everyone. My name is Michael. I'm one of the pastors of this church, and I'm going to be speaking from that passage today. This is our final talk in our Christmas series. Over the past few weeks, we've heard about community at Christmas and compassion at Christmas, all from the same passage, Matthew chapter 1. Today, we're going to be hearing about confidence at Christmas, the confidence that Christians can have before God and with each other as well. And so I do hope that it helps you to grow in your own confidence. I'm going to lead us in prayer as we get into God's word. So please join with me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you say to us in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12, that in Jesus we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. Lord, we pray that you may give us that boldness that can only come from knowing that Jesus has secured us a place in heaven, and that nothing can take that away. And Lord, we pray that that boldness may shape the way that we live our lives in this world, taking risks for you, stepping out in faith, trusting in you. And Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the TV shows that is a favorite for all the members of our family is The 1% Club. It is a quiz show, but the questions are less about general knowledge and more about problem solving and pattern recognition. And so it has the advantage that anyone can do it, regardless of your age or how much you know. They start with 100 people. The questions get successively more difficult. People get eliminated until they get to the final question that only 1% of Australians can answer correctly. And if you get that right, you get your share of $100,000. Between rounds, they interview the contestants about their names and their families and their work. And one of the questions that is always asked is, how confident are you that you will go all the way? Do you think you have a shot at the $100,000? And some people are pretty confident. Others are a bit more humble or restrained. And there are some people who are just happy to be there on TV. They don't really care about it. But that question of confidence is one that we could ask ourselves as well when it comes to God. How confident are you that you will go all the way? How set up are you, not just for this life, but for whatever comes after this life? How confident are you that you will be all right when you meet God? How confident are you that you will go all the way? When it comes to this question, some people respond maybe with doubt. They've never thought about it, or maybe they don't care about the question at all. But some people, on the other hand, will respond with despair. Maybe they know the bad things that they have done, and they are certain that they are damned, certain that they are going to hell, and it fills them with dread and helplessness and hopelessness. But for Christians, the Christmas story gives them confidence that they will go all the way. They can say that they are set up not just for this life, but also for the next. And they can say this without boastfulness or arrogance, because our confidence comes not from ourselves, but from what Jesus has done for us. And again, we see this in the two names of Jesus that we are given in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is the story of the first Christmas when Mary is found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. The angel tells her to give her son two names, and the first name is Jesus. And that gives us confidence of acceptance by God. This is what we see in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus is a Greek name. The Hebrew equivalent is Joshua. His name means God saves, and this is what Jesus does. God knows that we have done sinful and terrible things. We have gone our own way, not God's way. And the things that we have done mean that we cannot stand in the presence of a holy God. We have done things that deserve death and hell. But Christmas reminds us that God is a compassionate and loving God. He doesn't want us to be punished or damned. And so he sends his son Jesus into the world. And out of love, Jesus will live that perfect life swap our sinful lives for his perfect life so that we can be right with God. So that God treats us like he treats Jesus. He treats us with love and acceptance. And this is not because we are good, but because God is good. Because of his kindness and his love toward us. And that means that we have confidence of acceptance. I don't think any of us here would be able to just walk into Buckingham Palace in London. The gates and the walls and the guards would keep out the commoners and peasants like us. But you could totally walk into Buckingham Palace if you were the son of the king. You could come and go as you please. And it's not because you're better than anyone else. It's not because you're smarter or nicer or stronger. It's not about any of those things. It's simply because you are the son of the king. Because of your relationship with the king, you can get in. Even if you are Prince Harry, you can get in. Because of the love that your father has for you. And it's the same with us and God. We get in with God not because we are good or not because we've improved ourselves, but it's because Jesus has lived up to his name and saved us from our sins. He has made us sons and daughters of God. We are part of the family. And so now we belong in our Father's house. We belong in heaven. And this is what it says in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 5, when it goes, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." We get in because we are family, because of the love of the Father. And the word that Christians throughout history have used for this is grace. It is the undeserved kindness of God that comes purely out of God's love for us. And this means that we have confidence of acceptance before God. We don't need to worry about whether we're good enough, whether we have made the cutoff, because getting into heaven is not about our performance. It's about God's love for us in Jesus. Christians more recently have used this diagnostic question to see where people are at. They ask people, you know, if you were to die tonight and God asked you, "Why should I let you into heaven?" how would you respond? It's very unlikely, based on what the Bible says, that that's actually what things are going to be like after you die, by the way. But still, it's a good question to see where people are at, what they trust in. And Christians can answer that question with confidence, that I don't deserve heaven. But I thank God that I still get heaven because Jesus came and died for me, because he saved me from my sins. Because of that, Christians can have confidence of acceptance before God. But there's another type of confidence that God gives to his people in this passage, and we see that in the second name that Jesus is given. And that's the name of Emmanuel. And this name, Emmanuel, gives us confidence of victory. And we see this in verses 22 to 23. "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means 'God with us.'" Emmanuel is a Hebrew name. It means God with us. And that little phrase, "God with us," is a phrase that actually comes with a deep and powerful history throughout the Old Testament. Whenever God says, "I am with you," in the Bible, he is giving his people confidence of victory. When Joseph was a slave in Egypt, the Bible says God was with him. And so he rose out of slavery to become the second most powerful man in Egypt, just under Pharaoh himself. When God's people were on the edge of their promised land, God spoke to Joshua saying, "I will be with you," and to be strong and courageous. And they were able to win the land that God promised them. When a young man named David grew out of his origins as a shepherd boy, it says that God was with him, and David had many military victories and eventually became king of Israel. And after God's people returned from exile in Babylon, they began rebuilding the temple of God, and God says to them, "I am with you," and the temple is rebuilt. Whenever God says, "I am with you," his people succeed. And now, in that first Christmas, this baby Jesus is a message from God saying to his people, I am with you. He's saying to everyone who will listen, you will succeed. You will be victorious. Your sins will not defeat you. The enemies of God will not defeat you. Your worries and fears in this life will not defeat you. Not even death is going to defeat you. Because Jesus has dealt with those things when he died for us. Or he is dealing with those things right now because he is the Lord of everything. And he will take his people into heaven. He will take his people into victory. And he will take you with him. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 goes, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does this mean for us? Well, as Romans 8 goes, if God is for us, who can be against us? God says to us, you are not a failure. You are not a mistake. I am with you. Christians fight against anxiety and worry and fear. The Christian writer Michael Green says that it might always look like Christians are in the minority, but one plus Jesus is always a majority. And so we might wonder about ourselves, will I be a success or failure in life? And God says to us, well, because Jesus is with us, we are always a success to God. We might wonder, is Christianity on its way out? Is Christianity gone for good? But because Jesus is with us, we know that the comeback is always just around the corner. It has happened so many times before in the history of God's people, the history of the church. It will happen again. And I think maybe, especially for a church like ours, I reckon we need to hear that if God is with us, then maybe we can embrace a little bit more risk in our lives. Imagine that all of us are on a soccer team, say, and we are in some sort of final and we are tied with the opposing team, right? We are neck and neck. You'd be worried, wouldn't you? You'd be freaking out about the game. You'd be watching everything closely, your defensive game, your offensive game. You'd be trying to squeeze out every little advantage you have, every little rule that you can deploy to kind of get you the score. You'd be super sweaty trying to keep all your teammates in line. But just say instead, we are 1,000 points ahead. It is impossible for us to lose. Well, I hope that if you're playing that game, you'd be a lot less worried. Maybe you'd loosen up a bit more, have fun with the game. Maybe you'd care a bit more that the game is played fairly. Maybe you'd go into bat for the opposing team sometimes. Maybe you'd try a few experimental plays, see if they work out. You know, for Christians, it is that second situation that is more in line with reality than the first one. There are a lot of Christians who act like every decision they make in life is them on the brink of failure, on the brink of disaster or catastrophe. That is not reality. God is with us. We are not on the verge of failure. We are on the verge of success. We can risk a little. Because God is with us in Jesus, we have confidence of victory. Back in the 90s, when I was a teenager, it was trendy to have these grungy, edgy t-shirts and stickers on your folders, that kind of thing. One of the brands was No Fear, I think by an Australian guy who did very well for himself, I think. But there is something very Christian about the phrase, No Fear. Because Jesus gives us confidence in God. Jesus has saved us from our sins, and so we have confidence of acceptance. We have no fear of God's judgment. Jesus is God with us, and so we have confidence of victory. We have no fear of failure or defeat. And all of this is not because of us, but because Jesus has won that victory for us. It depends not on our own strength, but Jesus. Knowing this changes our lives for the better. It gives us joy. It reduces our worries and anxieties, and it frees us up to love and to care for others. Can I encourage you this Christmas to remember your confidence that you have because Jesus has come into the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the events of that first Christmas. Thank you that everything worked together to ensure that your Son would come into the world as a human being to save us from our sins. Thank you that Jesus did save us, that he grew up to be a man, that he lived that perfect life, and then dying on the cross for us, took our sinful lives on himself, took the punishment we deserved, and made us right with you. Heavenly Father, we pray that we may have confidence that we will be accepted before you. Confidence not in ourselves, but in Jesus. Lord, you say to us that there is no fear in love, but that perfect love drives out fear. And so we pray that we will not fear your judgment, but that we may know deep in our hearts that you love us. Heavenly Father, we pray that we may have confidence of victory as well, that we may remember that Jesus is Lord of heaven and earth, that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him, and that he is putting all his enemies under his feet. Please help us to remember this, to remember our ultimate destination, to remember that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And so, Lord, we pray that we may go about our lives confident that we are heading into a better place, joyful at the inheritance that we have in Christ, and eagerly hopeful, looking forward to that new creation to come. We pray that the world around us may see this joy and faith and hope that we have because Jesus has come into the world. And we pray that they may have that same joy and faith and hope as well. And Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.